My childhood church was planted in a rural Indiana town called Richland, named after the fertile soil that surrounded it. My father was the preacher and a singer, and I learned about God somewhere between the two. In the wide open spaces of Indiana bean and corn fields, I would pray with full confidence for ways to tell of God's goodness. I had little doubt he would deliver. The brown brick building had a sanctuary that sat 200 people, about half the town's population. The Baptist and Methodist churches had seating for the rest. There were no stoplights or gas stations, but a hardware store specializing in farming supplies and a grocery store provided the basics. By local standards, Richland Christian Church was a little edgy. We had no denominational ties, and we had a sound system that kept the Baptists safely away. On Sundays, we kept the organ and piano within acceptable limits for the hearing aids in the back row, but the rest of the week had no limit. On weeknights, my father practiced in the sanctuary with his gospel group, the Mud Chapel Singers. They covered popular songs from the Cathedrals, the Stamps Quartet, and the Gaither Vocal Band. My brother and I liked to lie on the wooden pews and listen to them practice. As my dad's voice boomed through the sound system, it reverberated from the walls and filled the room like the presence of God. I sang along at times, my voice sounding small in comparison, and I wondered if one day it might sound as big as his. David, my older brother by almost 2 years, learned to play the piano and became a really good musician. Since I couldn't compete with him on piano, I learned to play the drums. When he started singing on stage on Sunday mornings, I sometimes sang backup. One day, while no one else was at church and our dad was preparing a sermon in his office, my brother was playing on the sound system in the sanctuary. I rushed to finish my job of mowing the church lawn while Russ Taff and the Imperials blasted through the speakers, cranked up much higher than usual. The power was electric. My brother hooked up a couple of microphones, and we took turns singing harmonies and riffs with Russ when a high and powerful vocal came up. When it was my turn at melody again, I closed my eyes and took a deep breath and sang from someplace new, someplace previously hidden from me. My voice entered the microphone and came out of the speakers as something transcendent. It was as big and strong as any voice ever heard in that sanctuary. My brother stopped and stared at me. His eyes confirmed the same thing I'd heard. I could sing. Several lifetimes later, these memories came to me as I waited in a private room at my doctor's office. The chairs in the waiting room were lined up straight and reminded me of those church pews from long ago. They faced a beige wall with enough space between them that patients could avoid looking at each other. Dark wooden arms and legs met at right angles to support seat and back cushions covered in neutral tones that contrasted only slightly with the carpet. I restacked the magazines on the coffee table and noticed the veneer had worn from the edges, revealing the wood was fake. What was supposed to be solid oak was only a composite of other materials. Gold records of musicians who were also patients hung horizontally across the walls, including one from my band, Audio Adrenaline. Carrie, my wife, had directed the photo shoot for the album Bloom, and we'd done the CD insert art together. It was the best thing we'd ever created as a couple. Bloom had released around the same time I'd become a patient. The biggest accomplishment of my life at that time. It signified the transition from a struggling rock band to one who had made it. Several gold record plaques were given away as gifts to those who had been a part of helping us achieve it. One hung proudly in our record label's entryway. Another hung in my dad's church office. This is the one I saw most often. I waited for a nurse to call me to the exam room. When the door opened, it was the doctor.